Bird's Eye View is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
And welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is Scott Magnus. This is episode 61. And it is December 23rd, 2013. Those of you who are listening to us can find us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com, or you're more likely listening to us at the baltimoresportsreport.com/network. You can also find us at iTunes at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com/iTunes. You can also find us at facebook.com/BEVcast. You can find us on Google Plus. You can find us on Twitter at birdseyeviewbal. And, well, you can most likely find us on Craigslist under the wanted ad. So, Jake, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas Eve to you, Scott. Now, in the interest of giving in this season of lights and all that is merry, you were planning on giving something away, were you not?
I was giving some consideration to giving something away. So I asked at the last podcast, I said, okay, anybody that follows us on Twitter, post something on iTunes, we are going to give you a great prize. It's going to be an Orioles magazine. And we had a lot of followers pop up in the past week. We had over 50 followers follow us last week. So I'd like to go out there and thank Birdland for following us in this dark, 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 depressing time known as Orioles offseason.
Scott, in this dark time, you're not the podcaster we need. You're the podcaster we deserve. Okay, so you're giving away the Orioles magazine, and someone will get a direct message pop up in their box, and life will be good for them. Yes?
Yes, that is correct. So for those who followed us in the past week, go ahead and check your direct messages. There may be a Christmas prize waiting for you.
Ooh. Now, speaking of giving, you know, I'm sure everybody's just about done with their shopping for the holiday, but if you are a procrastinator, you can go ahead and do that through Amazon on the Amazon link at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. Always appreciated here at the show. It helps us keep the lights on, and we'd appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who did. I guess the six people in prison or in their mother's basements that listen to this program actually listen to us for that.
Yes, go and spend your hard-earned money in order to get us a small portion of it. It's like Superman 3. We're just taking fractions of a penny away from you.
You didn't even go with Office Space on that one? You went directly to Superman 3?
What can I say? I'm a big fan of Lex Luthor.
I'm sure that you are. Look, I'm not going to be able to make more Lex Luthor comments without getting something to drink. So can you tell me what the drink of the week is for you?
Sure. My drink of the week is from a brewery in New York, Cooperstown, New York, specifically.
You just barely pulled that out of the end.
Well, it's Cooperstown, New York.
New York City.
It's from a brewery called Omegon, and it's an amber ale, and it's called Rare Vols.
Wow, that sounds super fancy.
It is pretty fancy.
It sounds really impressive.
Yeah, Omegon is one of the top breweries in all North America, in my opinion.
Okay.
So it's actually a great idea. See, we could actually go up to Cooperstown, visit the Hall of Fame, and then go to the brewery.
I'm down for the brewery trip.
You don't want to go to Cooperstown?
No, I'm going to wait till my kids are older.
Yeah. I think we should just wait till Mike Buscina goes in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, that will be very exciting for everyone involved. Thank you. I myself am drinking also a classy beverage, and it's the only beverage that I'm aware of that predominantly features a mustache. I myself am drinking a National Bohemian.
That's your drink of choice.
Oh, boy. What a beer.
Yeah.
All right.
Went fancy, though. Went with a bottle as opposed to a can.
Yes, yes, but that's only because I like the... It's only because I like the puzzles in the cap.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, we've got to talk about something here. There's some sad things that have happened at Birdland lately, but There's one that's really taking the cake, and Scott, we're gonna have to put a dear friend to rest. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a it's a dark day in Birdland.
Like, I promised myself I wasn't gonna cry, but this will be the end of the Brian Roberts watch.
Diana.
No,
Diana.
Brian Roberts.
Diana. Watch. Diana Roberts.
You know, that maybe that's it, Scott. We haven't quite put the finger on why everyone's so darn upset that Brian Roberts is no longer an Oriole, but more importantly went to the Yankees. I think there's a good sizable portion of the fan base, or at least the one sitting across from me, that can't stand to think about the Yankees fan base having Diana Roberts to look forward to.
Well, for those of us that actually listened to the podcast from last week, it's not that big of a deal. In fact, this is great for me. This is the greatest news of all time for one reason and one reason only. Page one, Brian Roberts signs with the Yankees. Page two, I fuck his wife.
I think more likely to happen is Brian Roberts signs with the Yankees, and one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to fall apart right away, or he is actually going to have himself a decent season just to poke us in the eye.
Well, that's fine. That's part of page one. But page two is I fuck his wife.
Yeah, I understand. Look, here's the thing. We loved Brian Roberts, and the Brian Roberts watch was fun, and we did it every week, mostly to mock the coverage of the Brian Roberts situation, but also to mock the Brian Roberts situation itself. But Scott, here at this juncture with Brian Roberts now wearing pinstripes, the Brian Roberts watch is officially retired.
Does it have to be?
I was hoping this day would never come, but he's a Yankee now. He's dead to me.
Okay. I have a hard time saying that he's dead to me.
He wears pinstripes.
And?
Plays for the Yankees for at least three games.
Okay.
He is dead to me.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, and I understand this hatred. But at the same time, I'm going to think back to last year when Mark Reynolds stepped out onto the field for the Yankees.
Mark Reynolds is not in the Brian Roberts territory. Mark Reynolds is a guy that we had for one magical season and everything was grand, and he was a marginally decent player. Brian Roberts was the only bright spot on a lot of crappy teams that I supported for a long time. Brian Roberts was a personal favorite of mine because, despite all of the other stuff, the steroids, the injuries, Brian Roberts more than not put a smile on my face when he was on the field, and he was one of the few guys that I was proud of to see in an Orioles uniform.
And don't you think you should take that right now and say to yourself, I'm going to take the good for the bad. He was here from being 99 through 2013. He had a long historical career with the Orioles. Remember all the doubles he hit. Remember the exquisite play he had at second base.
I will remember all of that when he comes back to be inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame after he's retired and he's not wearing pinstripes. Brian Roberts was a player I loved, and now he is dead to me.
Okay. I understand you're upset.
But upset? Mr. Magnus, you have never seen me very upset.
Actually, I have. It's called when you call Comcast up, but that's another
story. It's altogether different.
Yeah. But I think we need to take a quiet reflection and realize how great a player Brian Roberts was for the Orioles. He could have easily gone to another team back in the day, but he chose to stick it out for the Orioles. Brian Roberts, my hats are off to you. Best of luck finishing out your career, whether it be with the Yankees or whoever else it'd be. We can't wait to welcome you back to Birdland, give you the standing ovation that you greatly deserve. And once again, thank you for being an Oriole, and thank you for bringing your hot, trim piece of wife into all of our lives.
Dead to me.
Okay.
All right. Can we move on? That segment is officially retired. Let's go to something else. Let's go to the twat.
Okay. Let's go to twat.
All right. This week on the Twitters, this actually covers 2 weeks because when last we left our heroes, we were 2 weeks ago. I want to just call out Ryan Webb, new Oriole. All right. The guy opens up his Twitter to take questions from fans and was hysterical about it. He answered all the questions he was given. He was funny, self-deprecating. But his whole point was, hey, you guys don't know me. let's open it up, you know, and I'll answer anything you want. I thought that was really cool. It was a neat use of social media.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a big issue with social media in this past year, from the aspect of, we talked about the interactions with Chris Davis on Twitter this past year. We talked about the Adam Jones situation where a banana was thrown to him and he basically said, I'm done with Twitter.
You forget the Jake Arrieta hissy fit?
Oh, I forgot about the Jake Arrieta hissy fit about the CrossFit. Yes, that's a good point too. You know, Twitter like this can have, you know, huge positive ramifications, but at the same time can have huge negative ramifications. This is the kind of move, though, that if the Orioles PR staff were smart, they would do more of.
Oh, absolutely.
And they would say, they would go to players and say, we are going to teach you on how to use social media so that you can portray both yourself and the club in a positive outlook. And heck, that's not what Ryan Webb did. He just did it spur of the moment by himself, which, again, shows how savvy he is both as a baseball player and a marketer of his own talents.
And a tweeter, yeah. Yeah. I thought it was cool. Next up on the Twitters this week, a lot of hate for this miserable offseason that we're going through. And, you know, I joked about the pitchforks and the torches last week, but yikes. Orioles fans are not happy about the way things are going right now.
Orioles fans? It's not just Orioles fans.
It's true. And they're starting to get called out in the media a lot more.
Yeah, the national media has been absolutely ruthless for the Orioles. From Buster Olney has come out against them. Ken Rosenthal has come out against them, which kind of makes sense based off Ken Rosenthal's background being a Baltimore sports beat writer as well. But I even saw a tweet last night regarding Peter Gammons. Peter Gammons came out and had mentioned that the Orioles had only won 2 playoff games in Oriole Park and Camden Yards, which is not correct. It's 5 games. And I just think it's really interesting that everyone has decided to jump on the I hate Baltimore bandwagon.
See, I think you're making it. Well, first of all, did Peter Gammons also tell Twitter to get off his lawn?
Yes, he did.
Okay. I think you're making an unnecessary distinction between the others that beat us up and the hometown fans that beat up the team. I don't think we should get into the defensive, oh, the national media hates us mode just because it's them. Because I think that this organization deserves a lot of criticism in general, and this offseason has really shown its warts.
Well, let's come back and figure out why is everyone being so negative. So one of the reasons that people are being so negative is because there was no action at the winter meetings. So a lot of people came out and said the Orioles are failing this offseason. They're not making any moves. They're not, you know, progressing any further.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was that if the experts, you know, quote unquote, the experts said who needs to win in the offseason or who needs to win at the winter meetings, the Orioles were on those lists because their position as a playoff contending team is very precarious, because much like from the 2012 to 2013 season, they're going into the 2014 season needing to get better than what they were last year in order to have a chance to go anywhere. And it was widely agreed upon that they needed to get better.
Okay. I totally agree with you. I think the next part that we need to focus on, though, is the negative ramped up even further after the Balfour failed physical. And there was a lot of comments on meddling from ownership, both from Peter Angelos to this is the way the Orioles operate, to just really negative spin by the national media. That's the best way I can describe it, is just negative spin.
And, you know, we're going to talk about the Balfour situation a little bit later, but yeah, I mean, you're right. Everybody panned, you know, that situation. So let's
hold off on that. We'll get back to that topic.
We call that a tease.
Yeah, let's a tease. Come on back later. You know, we'll show you a little bit right now.
But, all right,
you
know, all right.
No?
No.
So I should put my shirt down now?
I would love that, okay. Actually. I'm the only one that is being punished here.
This is why Zach doesn't let us do video casts.
That's true.
Yeah.
Next thing on the Twitters this week was the Ravens. And again, since we've done 2 weeks since our recording, there was the exuberance of the Justin Tucker game.
Yep.
And there was whatever the hell happened on Sunday.
What are you talking about? We had a week 16 bye.
No. They behaved as if they had a week 16 bye. But in fact, the Patriots made quick work of the Ravens.
I kind of disagree with that. I don't really think it was quick work. I think it was just the aspect of the Ravens never came out on the field.
All right. I will back that up and say it wasn't quick work. It just felt like it went on forever.
Yeah. Hopefully, based off of seeing Tyrod Taylor at the end of the game yesterday, we can stop with the "we need more Tyrod Taylor" quotes from sports radio.
He did a really good job while he was in there, didn't he?
Yes, he did a great job for anybody who had New England's defense on fantasy football.
So did he behave as if he's a quarterback that didn't belong under center for an NFL team, like every other backup quarterback?
That's not entirely true. Let's go back to Josh McCown in Chicago. He's been a very capable quarterback. There's plenty of backup quarterbacks that do a decent job. It's just that Tyrod Taylor is not a better quarterback than Joe Flacco.
Okay. You're preaching to the choir.
I know.
I've got just two more things here.
Go ahead.
First, I want to go through the tweet of the week because this was amazing. This was from at HopeFloats1985, and the tweet was this. If the at Orioles offseason plans were to alienate fans, trade good players for quadruple A players, and raise ticket prices, it's been a success. Spot on. That point for point, right on.
Okay. Whatever.
You're clearly impressed.
I just think that, you know, people are still jumping far too quickly on this. There are still a multitude of free agents out there, both in starting pitching, that could easily come to this team and solidify it going forward. I understand people are frustrated, but let's be patient.
All right, last thing. Here we go. You ready? A little theater here.
Okay.
Achoo!
Gesundheit. No, man, that's my name.
Yeah, apparently some guy named Chu got signed, and that was a big deal or something. Did anyone think that Chu was coming to Baltimore?
I kind of hoped it, but I knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, so there was a lot of noise about Chu signing and not with the Orioles, but I think that's much a Chu about nothing because there's really no way he would have come here.
Are you going to try to put another pun in there?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Much a Chew About Nothing was the buildup. That's
it?
It was the creamy center of twat this week.
All right. So why don't we go choose the next segment and...
Yikes.
Go from there.
All right. One last thing to talk about. As you know, we do some work for BSR where we...
That's BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Yes, BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Yikes. Yeah, so we do some work for BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Great guys over there. And we occasionally provide some written content or we duplicate some of the stuff that we write and put it over there. After Tucker had that ridiculous game, there was that picture of him with the six bottles and cans of Dr. Pepper. And I wrote this quick little thing about it, and I sent it over to Zach. And I was like, look, this is dumb, and it's short. And it's about the Ravens, which is really not in my wheelhouse. If you want to post this, that's fine. And if you think it's crap, you know, you won't hurt my feelings. So that crappy little post got picked up on the odds and ends section of Sports Illustrated's Extra Mustard. Hysterical. Let me just say that I don't understand writing. I'll pour my soul into writing something that gets seen by three people. I crap out something that I think is awful. And it gets all sorts of attention. Why, Scott? Why?
It gets on Sports Illustrated, which just goes to further prove that Sports Illustrated, piece of crap.
Well, yeah. Especially the extra mustard section, but that's neither here nor there.
I disagree. Some of the girls that were on that section were not crap.
I see. Yeah. I see. So I assume that you also read the articles?
Huh?
All right.
With you had an article on there?
I think once or twice there are articles.
Okay.
At least that's what they tell me. All right. With that, let's get into this holiday season. You know, we're recording right here before Christmas, and hopefully it'll be near that time when folks are listening. And I really, really feel like we should get into that mode.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking.
Scott, what is this? What are we doing here?
This would be Ernest Tubb with a blue Christmas.
Okay, when we went through the pre-show and I asked for Blue Christmas, I was not envisioning this.
I'm sorry, Gwen Stefani does not sing Blue Christmas.
Okay, but Elvis does.
Yeah, but Elvis is so overdone. I just wanted to go with something just a little different.
All right, so for more reasons...
I could have gone Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. For more reasons than just this musical selection, it's been a Blue Christmas for Orioles fans. Let's go through the misery, shall we?
Do we have to?
Oh, we do. And I, you know, I love how terrible this season has been, but let's build up to the crescendo of terrible that we've experienced. First, let's talk about Danny Valencia for David Lowe.
Okay. I love this trade, actually.
Okay, tell me why you love this trade.
Danny Valencia is a one-year rental. Do you really think that Danny Valencia being a one-year rental is going to push us over the hump and into a World Series?
No.
And if David Lowe is able to be controlled for multiple years for cheap, why don't we see what he can develop into?
He's 27?
Yes.
I think he may be past the point of development.
Say that to Nolan Reimold.
Who's also past the point of development.
Okay, but my aspect is I would rather have David Lowe than Nate McLaus at 31 at this point in their careers.
I will say that maybe Lowe is a change of scenery guy and he has a great season, blah, 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 but that's a whole lot of maybes.
Okay.
I don't hate the trade. Don't get me wrong. I will say that letting Nate McLaus walk and failing to sign anyone better is a gaping hole in left field. The Orioles have chosen to quote-unquote, solve that problem by signing Peguero and now acquiring Lowe, who I'm not sure can you know, carry the torch for us out there in left field. And now, since they haven't bothered to go out and get
the torch, do you mean, what do you mean exactly?
I don't think they can, neither of those guys have proven that they can play left field in the majors.
And
so I'm a little concerned about going into the season without a real left fielder.
How dare you doubt Dan Duquette?
I'm doubting Dan Duquette.
Okay.
All right, so they said that they're going to go ahead and solve this problem by getting this cat from Kansas City and sending away Danny Valencia. And Danny Valencia, you know, was good in the 52 games he played for us, but he wasn't impactful. However, that having been said, he was one of the only candidates left over to be in the DH role. So they filled a hole with a maybe and traded away the only kind of solution they had in DH and now have another hole that they're not going to fill with a real player either.
Okay, to be fair, Danny Valencia did great against left-handed hitters for a portion of the season last year. You basically traded him at his maximum trade value. This is exactly the move that the Orioles need to be making right now.
Okay, yeah, they traded him away for his maximum trade value. I get that, and they got low in return.
Right. Wait a second. They got high in return.
No. Their return was low.
No, their return. They had a high return.
Okay, you were making fun of me before for a chew pun, and you went for that? And I played right along like an idiot. I'm just saying, look, I don't have anything against the guy. And you know, I've heard from Kansas City fans that you know, he's a guy that they like, and you know, he's full of hustle and grit and all that other crap. Maybe he's a nugget.
Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Until I see this guy play and I'm impressed by him, I'm unimpressed by the move.
So he's just another Ryan Flaherty to you.
Yeah, the only thing that I'll say about this whole move is that maybe by stockpiling these kind of maybe sort of guys in left field, it means that Buck Showalter is going to use Nolan Reimold in the DH role primarily, which may possibly kind of keep him upright longer than usual.
Yeah. There's one really good part about this trade.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I can think of is hashtag YOLO.
No. Hashtag YOLO with Lowe spelled out like his name is not okay.
Yes, hashtag YO.
No. We had this confusion. The boys over at Section 336 thought that we were in favor of it. We are not in favor of it.
Oh, no. I'm in favor of this.
Scott, this can't happen.
Yes, it can.
Okay. If you see hashtag YOLO coming from the Bird's Eye View Twitter account, you'll know exactly who is typing.
Yeah.
All right, so the
I'm going to get a big shirt that says hashtag YOLO all over it.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
The low move...
Once he gets MVP, I'm going to get it tattooed all over my arm. Hashtag YOLO.
Well, you know, he was eighth in Rookie of the Year voting.
in the probably the weakest Rookie of the Year class in a decade.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm not wild about the low move. I don't think there's anything wrong with it necessarily. I'm just looking for something where I can see a move come from the front office and go, oh, okay, I see where they were going with that. What else have we had going on? I don't know. Let's talk about Grant Balfour, shall we?
Okay, let's dive into Grant Balfour.
What a debacle that is.
Yeah, I mean, how else can you describe it? It's the aspect of, oh, we have an agreement. All right, we finally went out and signed somebody. We're close to, you know, filling all the gaps now. You've got left field kind of taken care of. You got your closer taken care of. The bullpen is pretty much solidified at this point. You know, maybe you'll go out and get starting pitching. And then, oh, what's this that Rakabako is reporting of a failed physical? Oh, this deal has fallen through. Oh, major uproar from everybody in the national media. Oh, look, there's pitchforks out. Oh, they're burning down the warehouse.
Yeah, things did get kind of crazy there. Look, the thing is that the Johnson trade for Jameel Weeks and not cash was viewed as a bad move because we didn't get anything in return. And then when they got Ryan Webb and then they, you know, had Grant Balfour for a whole 24 hours in their pocket, everyone sort of thought, well, you know, that's a good move now. Instead of Jim Johnson, I get Grant Balfour, Ryan Webb, and some guy who's going to ride the bench. That's a decent move. So the move went from being terrible to being good, and now with Grant Balfour out of the fold, it goes back to being a terrible move. And the other guys that are left on the board at this point are not really the kind of guys that are going to make that move okay again. At least in my opinion.
Okay. My aspect of it goes back to he's 36-year-old. The Orioles doctors obviously saw something that they didn't like. The Orioles have a history of this. They have a history of it with very good success, in my opinion. Actually, there's a great article on CamdenDepot.com. I recommend everybody go over there and read it because Ken Rosenthal put an article out through the national media basically saying the Orioles always do this and it's uncalled for and I can't believe they do this. And Camden Depot did a great job of breaking down every single time the Orioles have intervened and basically canceled a trade. And every single time from Aaron Seeley to Jeremy Bernotz, it has always worked out in the Orioles' favors. Even coming back to, what was that one minor leaguer that we basically, Jarred Jurgens was another one that we offered a major league contract for. And then all of a sudden, oh, something's up here. We're going to offer you a minor league contract. That could have been something that equally blew it up in the face. The only contract that I can think of that has been a complete monumental failure in the past few years is the Tsuyoshi Iwata deal.
Sure.
So do I have an issue with this? No, this is perfectly fine. The Orioles doctor saw something that they had concern with. The deal's off. Now, he can come back for an incentive-laden deal or it can be a one-year deal. This happened last year with Mike Dapoli. This isn't anything to be blown out of the water about, but yet the national media wants to blow this out of the water.
You know, it's funny, I agree, because, you know, whether or not the issue with Grant Balfour's shoulder is worthy of him having his deal voided or not, you know, like you said, the Orioles made a call and they decided against, you know, going through with the signing. And whether that's a baseball decision that came from the baseball guys or whether it's the, you know, meddling the owner because of his conservative approach, it almost doesn't matter. You know, the Orioles have a plan and they stick to it. The thing I thought was funny was you mentioned the Rosenthal piece, and I just want to read a quote here. It says, "A mere difference in medical opinions, perhaps, but this got public. This got public, and it got ugly, and it wasn't a one-time thing. The Orioles need to be signing free agents, not alienating them. Balfour, though, can draw inspiration from Seeley, the team that just rejected him, has been wrong before."
And that's not the case, though.
Here's my issue, though, with it. This got public, and this got ugly. The Orioles, like every other major league club, make a deal pending a physical, and the club does not announce the signing. Well, the fact that it got public is because somebody leaked it, and it was probably the agent.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right?
And it got public because the media took it and reported it. And it got ugly because the media caught it and reported it, and I'm not really sure how you hold the Orioles responsible for that. Now, if Grant Balfour goes on to have a fantastic season for another club, and you know that club, you know, beats the Orioles to go to the playoffs or whatever, yeah, that's going to be a whole lot of egg on the Orioles' face. But as quick as I am to judge Dan Duquette and the rest of them for having a terribly, you know, lackluster to disastrous offseason, I'm not quite ready to beat them up for the fact that they didn't pull the trigger on a 36-year-old who has some questions about his shoulder.
I am not going to beat up on Mulford at all. It is what it is. I wouldn't be totally surprised for them to come back and come to some kind of reconciliation as well, because the Orioles obviously see something and they want to make something work here. I could easily see it being a one-year deal with a pending option.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to sign here.
I totally disagree. I think that he still has the possibility to sign here.
No. If you look at the things that he said in the press about how the Orioles just blew their chance to win and all that kind of other stuff, no. They've definitely burned a bridge with Grant Balfour. I mean, that's clear at this point. Anything else to the contrary is just ridiculous.
Okay. I equally could be said the same thing about last year with Mike Napoli having a bridge burnt down with the Red Sox, and he equally signed with them.
Okay. I would go to the bank with a Grant Balfour thing not happening for the Orioles, but I've been wrong plenty of times, so...
A lot.
we'll agree to think you're an idiot. Anyway, let me ask the bigger question then before we get into the Orioles' closer situation, and that's this. Does the Grant Balfour debacle affect other free agents' willingness to work or sign with the Orioles?
Yes.
Okay.
Only one, though.
Who's that?
Nelson Cruz.
What if the player...
Because they both share the same agent.
Okay. What if the player doesn't have injury concerns?
No.
No, it doesn't affect that?
Heck no. If you've got a player that, you know, has no concern about health concerns or anything like that, how is it going to play any role? It's the aspect of the Orioles are just going to go to agents and say, if you've got any concerns about your player, then we're not going to sign them.
Or we're going to, you know, run a physical until
we're
satisfied.
We're going to vet that, basically. Yeah.
Sorry, we're going to do our due diligence if you have a history of health concerns.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, I don't think it's a bad policy, and I don't think that it's really going to affect their ability to sign free agents. I mean, God, they're not signing free agents anyway. The fact that we have a thorough health screening is really not having anything to do with that.
Yeah. If there's one key person to blame to this whole situation, this whole physical situation, it's one person and one person only, Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
That's just the Affordable Health Care Act. It's just coming back and butting us in the butt every single day.
No, I think the fact that he's a secret Muslim gets into people's shoulders. Yeah. You're not watching the right shows with the right tinfoil hat.
Okay. I don't get Showtime, so.
But before we dive into a Baltimoreans piece here, let's talk about what we're going to do about the closer situation itself. Do you think the Orioles will go in-house or out-house?
I think they're going to go in-house.
I hope so, because if they do go out-house, it's going to be a shitty situation.
Yeah.
But ching. All right, so who are we going with in-house?
I am going to go with Bud Norris as my closer.
Okay. Explain that to me in a way that makes sense, and you may want to use small words.
Okay. I feel as if Bud Norris will be closer.
Why do you think that's better for this team?
Oh, I'm not sure if it's better for this team. I just think that if I had to choose two players right now to be closer, it would be either Tommy Hunter or Bud Norris. I just think Tommy Hunter is going to be a lot better setup man in the eighth inning. I think Bud Norris is a much better closer at this time if you're just looking for internal options. The biggest question I have is, if you take Bud Norris out of the starting rotation, who do you fill in his place? I'm left with Tillman, Gonzalez, Chen, and...
Pray for rain.
I guess Gaussman.
We're getting a little far ahead of ourselves. I agree
with you.
You
know who they should put in the starting lineup? Brian Mattis.
I agree with you that...
That was you for you, Shroka.
I agree with you that pulling Norris out of the starting rotation opens another hole in you know, maybe we have a weaker rotation to turn over the ball to the
rotation from the already weakened state that it's at.
Yeah, I'm not really sure that's a good idea. I mean, if you look at, and we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves here, but if you look at the rotation as I see it, it's going to be Tillman, Chen, Gonzalez, Bud Norris, and I'll bet you Zach Britton gets the final spot because he's out of options, and we don't have another starter. I see Gausman is starting in the minors. So
I disagree, actually. Zach Britton will be in the pen.
Okay.
Do you want to know why that's the case?
Why?
Because in equally bad news, Troy Patton fails a drug test and is out for 25 games. So you're going to need another left-handed specialist in there. And hey, look, Zach Britton's a lefty.
This offseason sucks. Look, I don't believe...
So Zach Britton is going to at least start in the bullpen, right, in my opinion, right there with Brian Mattis. I'd actually come back and say, I'd rather put Bud Norris into the closer role, and then I'd rather go out and spend the money that I saved on going to get a closer, and then the additional money that we saved by not signing Brian Roberts and everybody else, and say, I want to go out there and get a good starting pitcher.
Look, I'm wholeheartedly with you, but do you think the Orioles are going to do that?
Well, no, but this is what I'm expecting them to do.
What I'm expecting them to do is anoint Tommy Hunter the closer, and then just bump everybody else up in the rotation, or in the bullpen, rather, and hope that Ryan Webb can take on the role that Tommy Hunter could, and then just stash one of their other guys that isn't completely horrible in the bullpen. I mean, Josh Stinson is out of options, so he could see his way into the bullpen. Well, this is really depressing.
It's very depressing. You know, there's people out there that can be, you know, still had for this offseason. Jake, you had a post on birdseyeviewbaltimore.com regarding starters from Matt Garza, Urban Santana, Bronson Arroyo, AJ Burnett, and everyone should go and read that to see what Jake's opinion is on starters. I think both of us are of the opinion that the Orioles probably aren't going to make a move in that area. I don't think the Orioles are going to make a move anywhere in free agency. I think we're looking at a trade, and I think we're looking at a trade at best of a middling 4A player.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think it's going to go back to the Dan Duquette scrap heap pile, trying to get somebody that they can catch lightning in a bottle with.
But I don't want to keep rehashing it. I think we've rehashed this for multiple episodes now. Let's move on. Let's get into a little bit of Christmas spirit.
Didn't we try this once?
Yeah, but this time it's going to be better.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, little town of Baltimore, how still your off-season lie. Duquette's asleep and O's fans weep as free agents pass them by. The underwhelming Johnson trade and Balfour deal were botched. Gavin Floyd snubbed the hometown boys. Oh, dear Lord, pass the scotch.
There's no real plan in Baltimore, but ticket prices are on the rise. You'll pay much more, but we're not quite sure what the extra revenue buys. Now B-Rob is a Yankee. He'll don evil pinstripes. They have no real answer at second base. Come on, Dan. Jesus Christ.
Oh, little town of Baltimore, just what else can be done? The apologists quit and now admit the O's embarrass everyone. The fans beat up on Angelos. They complain about Duquette. They've pissed and moaned and stayed away, but nothing has worked out yet.
Wow, that was horrible.
Scott, didn't we promise not to sing ever again after the bevies?
Holy cow. I mean, that is like Baltimoreans terrible.
No, this is a whole new level of awful.
Oh, so like Oriole Spastics awful?
No, this is a whole, don't keep naming people. This is terrible.
Okay. I can imagine this is what a goat sounds like if it was trying to sing.
I'm not really sure why that happened, other than the fact that
when the Shiroka boys are underneath the goat milking it,
enough of the goat. You know, revel in our own failures for just a moment. I need to cheer up. I don't know about you. After listening to that nonsense, to get myself better into the spirit of Christmas, you know, there are 12 days of Christmas. Why don't we go through the top 12 Oriole-themed gifts that you could possibly do for the holidays?
Okay, on the first.
No. We're not. No, not like that.
No.
No.
You're cutting me off.
We've already done
my true love gift to
we've
me.
We've done enough. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, just some gift ideas for the holidays.
We start with 12 or 1?
I think we should start with 12 and work our way up to 1.
Okay.
And 1 is not a bird in a tree. Don't worry. Is it
an ornithologically correct bird or is it a smiling bird?
All right. Why don't you give us number 12?
Okay. Number 12 is going to be what every Orioles fan needs this off season, which is an Orioles stress ball. Yes, an Orioles stress ball to take you that stress off of you for realizing how terrible your team is during the off season.
Ouch. All right. Probably accurate.
Yes.
Let me just say number 11 is a good winter gift. It's the Orioles knit cap, which you can get, you know, either at the O's store or on Amazon through the Bird's Eye View Amazon link.
Or you can support the local community and go get it through Etsy.
Nice. But I think in these, you know, chilly December 70 degree weekends, it's really important to have an O's knit hat.
Absolutely. I think it's equally more important now that there's a possibility that the Orioles might be falling out of the playoffs. I mean, the Ravens could be falling out of the playoffs.
A little premonition there?
Just a little premonition.
All right, so that's 12 and 10, 11. What do you have for 10?
Let's see. For 10, we have Orioles sunglasses.
Okay, like what? Is it like an ode to the sunglasses guy?
Pretty much, I guess. I mean, that's the most famous person that wears or wear sunglasses, but those are not Orioles sunglasses. These are specifically Orioles sunglasses.
Okay, how?
Because they're orange and black.
Okay. There are some out there that also have like the picture on the shade itself with the smiling bird on the lens.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Great. Meh. Okay.
All right. I'm going to make the recommendation of the guy that's on TV. For number 9, I'm going to go with a nice Orioles tie that you can wear to work or, you know, a funeral, whatever it is that you have to do. Be able to support the team. Support the team colors, an Orioles tie. Great holiday gift for dad.
Yep. Number 8, Orioles earbuds, because, heck, you have to listen to Bird's Eye View somehow.
Clearly, and you want to be doing that with orange and black in your ears.
That's right.
It's not enough to just bleed black and orange. You've got to have it coming out of your ears as well.
We either recommend wearing earbuds or earplugs if you don't want to listen to us.
Particularly after this show. All right. Next, we're on what, 7 here?
Yes.
7 is a Orioles fathead style decal. We just did my son's room in a baseball theme. And, you know, one of those huge stickers you can throw on the wall. Great for a man cave or a small child's room.
Or a podcast studio.
Okay. That could work.
Now, who did you pick for the room?
What?
What did you pick for the fathead?
Oh, we haven't picked it yet.
Oh, you haven't picked it yet?
Just a big, you know, smiling bird.
Okay, so just a big smiling bird fathead.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need to get this cleared with my my director here on the home front. She doesn't listen to this anyway. She won't find out.
So number 6 is a Orioles-themed cornhole board, which is perfect for anyone that wants to play against us and beat us mercilessly because, man, we are terrible at cornhole.
We were incredibly bad at that.
Yeah, number 2 in cornhole, baby.
Okay. I'm going to go with number 5, a set of personalized Orioles stemware, which are available on the O's site. You can get, you know, a couple Pilsner glasses for your wine, some wine glasses if you really want to class it up, or if you're a man like Scott Magnus who enjoys a good manly drink, a pair of double old fashions with not only the Orioles logo, but a personalization like your name, etc.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. You know, you come home, put some scotch into your old-fashioned glass, and then tell your wife to take her shoes off and get into the kitchen. It's the way it's supposed to be. Hey, Diana, get in the kitchen.
Not really sure that's where I was going, with that particular one. So lead us out of this awkward moment.
All right. Number four is an Orioles jacket, whether it be a warm-up or anything. I mean, an Orioles jacket just goes perfect, not just for the winter, but also those cold, cold spring nights.
Okay. Next on the list, we're down to two at this point. An Orioles jersey. And this is dicey because an Orioles jersey is nice. But I think it's really important for us to remember that, you know, names like Davis, Weeters, that's kind of rocky. You want to get somebody that's going to be on the team for a while, definitely, like, you know, Machado or Jones. I'll tell you one name that's totally unacceptable at this point.
Felix P.A.?
Brian Roberts.
Okay. Well, if you don't want to risk the aspect of going in a jersey, another one that's a great option is an Orioles watch. I mean, an Orioles watch is perfect. It's a great gift for a gentleman. You know, everyone right now is looking, basically pulls their phone out and looks at it. You know, there is something civilized and classy about a man that has a watch, especially, you know, one that has a bird on it.
I got a watch, an Orioles watch, as a gift for being in somebody's wedding. I still wear that to this day. It's a great watch.
Do you still know the guy from the wedding?
Yeah.
Okay. See, the proper thing was, what wedding? And the number one gift that, you know, everyone should get for these 12 days of Christmas is, drum roll.
Season tickets.
That is correct. Season tickets. So go harass your parents, go harass your wife, go harass your brother, your sister, grandparents, whatever. Go get yourself some season tickets. Enjoy summer the way summer is supposed to be spent at Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
All right, Scott, it's that time again. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, Scott is much better at this than I am, so I'm going to go ahead and get started because I like to give him the last word. My good this week is going to go to Towson football. I feel like it's been beat like a drum, but it's important. You know, a small school, you know, from a football standpoint, doing well, making the town proud. You know, as a guy that came from a small school myself, I'm happy to see them do well, and especially to see all the Towson grads all around be so excited to watch their alma mater, you know, get some quality positive press.
That's a great one. I mean, I think everyone has jumped on the Towson bandwagon, so they get a tip of the cap, especially for how much of a turnaround they had. I can personally say that I've only been to Towson on, you know, dropping off people and stuff like that. I don't have an emotional investment, but I can tip the cap to it and say, great job. Keep up the great work. Good luck next week. My good, man, it's a tough week to pick a good this week in Baltimore sports. But, you know, I'm actually going to give a good to the Baltimore team doctors. I think it takes a lot of gumption to go out there and basically say, you know what, we are going to hold to our own values and say that we have concerns and issues here, where the rest of the medical community can say, well, you should just gone ahead and let that pass through. I think it raises the aspect of doing due diligence in your job function and raising questions and allowing your management to make the decision about what they want to do going forward.
That only works, the argument of, oh, thank goodness you had gumption, if they turn out to be right.
No, I disagree. I think it's good from the aspect of you could just been like, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to let everything just roll over. So good for them that, you know, that they get my good. Good for the week.
All right. I'm going to move over to bad. The bad this week for me is Troy Patton. And Troy Patton tested positive for Adderall twice, which is why he got the suspension. And here's the thing. The Major League Baseball players have access to the best doctors in the world. They have established procedures for getting prescriptions for substances that are on the banned list if it's necessary. And with a drug like, you know, Adderall, that's something that a lot of people have a legitimate need for. And I cannot believe for a second that he couldn't have gone through the correct channels to get that. If it was something that he was trying to take to, you know, for legitimate reasons, he could have made it happen. But instead, he failed two tests for a banned substance, and in doing so, hurt his team by opening up a spot for a guy like Josh Stinson.
All right.
You're welcome.
Yeah. My bad for the week is actually going to be the University of Maryland Terrapins basketball team.
Woof.
Yeah. Losing to Boston University at home. That program really has fallen off the deep end. Someone's going to need to sit down with Turgeon and just explain that this is a program that was a perennial team that would go to the tournament. And we're looking at another season where there's not going to be a tournament-bound University of Maryland team, and the NIT doesn't count. So, Mark Turgeon, you're on notice.
All right, my bad for this week.
You're ugly, isn't it?
Ugh.
Yeah. This is why I always go.
My ugly for the week is you, Scott.
What?
Scott Magnus is my ugly for the week.
Oof.
And this is why.
Oh.
Did you watch that whole Ravens game?
I did.
That's ugly.
Okay.
Scott Magnus, for watching that entire Patriots or Ravens beatdown, you were ugly. And I know what you're going to say. Real fans stick through. Real fans would have watched that whole game. Well, you know what I did? I played with my kids for a while after it was clear that the Ravens had crapped their pants. So, Scott, for wasting a moment too much of your life on the Baltimore Ravens when they clearly did not have it going, you, sir, are ugly.
Okay. My ugly, spoiler alert, if you have issues with political topics, please turn off this podcast at this moment.
Oh, no.
Yes. My ugly for this week is the First Amendment. And the reason I'm bringing up this, and this is not so much a sports-related topic, this is a political topic. I have a big issue this week with the First Amendment. As everyone has known and heard on every single station, from whether you listen to Fox News, you listen to MSNBC, whether you listen to NPR, whether you listen to BBC, whether you listen to Al Jazeera, I don't care, but the whole world has been consumed by a show called Duck Dynasty, which I'm sure some of our listeners listen to. Phil Robertson has made comments about homosexuals and basically calling them sinners. And he has taken a hit from A&E regarding this, of saying he has been suspended indefinitely for comments that he has made. Whether or not you believe in those comments or not does not give him the right. Well, actually, he has the right to say it, but there are repercussions for saying these issues. The First Amendment does not prevent you from basically saying, oh, I can't be reprimanded for this. If I go onto an airplane and I shout, bomb, that doesn't mean the First Amendment protects me. There are repercussions for the actions you take. An action was taken, you will suffer the consequences. So for those idiots out there that want to go out and say the First Amendment should be protecting this person, I would remind you, for those individuals such as, oh, I don't know, the Tea Party, that claim to be constitutionalists and say, oh, we believe in the Constitution, maybe it's time for you to go back and read it and realize what it actually means. And that's my ugly for the week.
Yikes. I mean, I'm not going to argue with with the point. That just got a little heavy for a sports podcast.
Well, look, I've got a big issue with it, especially in the holiday season.
All right. Well, hey, way to end that on such a great note. You know, we used to, I'm just going to blow right through. We're moving on. Scott, you know, we used to have a segment at the end of the show that we used to call Blowing the Save, which is somewhat appropriate for what we have going on here with the Grant Balfour situation. So partially it's admitting mistakes. Also, we hit items that maybe didn't fit into any of our other segments. Do you have anything with which to blow the save?
No, I'm perfect.
Yeah, you've done enough damage already. One thing I wanted to mention that I missed when we talked about the starting rotation was the Orioles just picked up a guy named Hendricks that was waived by the club.
Hendricks. We've never heard that word before.
Yeah. The Orioles feeling like they needed a guy named Hendricks makes me feel like I need to be drinking Hendricks.
Well, maybe we can trade Jameel Weeks for some cucumbers.
All right. Hey, that would work. It's madness. Did you hear what Dan Duquette said about the signing itself?
No.
He said, we wanted to make sure we added another starting pitcher. This is the guy they got. All right. With that, Baltimore Beyond, I bid you a fond adieu.
Good night, Baltimore.
It's over. Go home.